Okay, good evening to everyone. It's good to see you on Zoom this evening as we continue in our study in the Gospel according to Luke. I am Sister Velma Jean Sanders, the teacher of the Contemporary Bible Class, and I greet you in the name of Jesus. That's the name we gather under. We are studying, as you know, we started at chapter 1. The goal is to go through the entire book of the Bible. Jesus now is headed towards Jerusalem, and we are seeing what is happening along the way. So we're going to get right into our study. I hope you have your Bibles. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. Most of you know that, but perhaps someone does not. I'll give a review. Last week we started Luke chapter 14. Of course, I'll give a review of that, and then we will proceed forward. I'm glad to see each one of you. I've been praying for you on a daily basis, calling you by name, calling you collectively and individually the best I can. And also, I encourage you to continue to keep me in prayer as well. Pray ye one for another. That's one of the scriptures in the Bible that God has told us to do, to pray for one another. So now we're going to go to our Father in prayer in the name of Jesus. Father, you are our Father, and we come before you in the name of Jesus, as your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we hallow your great name. Your name is worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And you catch us here now somewhere in between. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for this day and for the blessings thereof. We thank you that you are God who is ever with us. You are with us in all times and in all seasons. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our precious Redeemer, our precious Savior, and our precious Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you loved us, gave your life for us, washed us from our sins in your own blood, was buried on our behalf that we might be united with you, and rose up again and brought us up with you. And today we sit with you in heavenly places in Christ. We pray that the Spirit of God would help us to live accordingly and help us to walk accordingly. May our affections be set on things above and not on the things of this earth. Spirit of the living God, we call on you to be our teacher. We call on you to speak, Lord, for we, your servants, listen. We pray, Lord God, that the Spirit will help us to not only be hearers of the word, but may we be doers as well. We pray for the needs of everyone in our class. Everyone in here has some type of need. Some are physical, some are material, some are financial, some are relations, some are emotional. And then there's all kind of needs we don't even know what we need. But we lift up every need to you. You know exactly what we need. And we praise you that you are the God who has promised to fulfill and to give us all our needs, to supply our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We need you now to be our teacher. We pray for the absent part of us. We pray that whatever's going on in their lives, that their trust is strong in thee. And perhaps their trust may be weak, Lord. We pray for strength where strength is needed. Now we look forward to hearing what you have to say to us this evening, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask you to forgive us any sins, anything that would hinder us from hearing from you. We pray, dear Lord, forgive. We pray this in the precious, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good evening to those who have joined us. I am glad that you are here. Well, we're going to continue this evening in our study of the Gospel according to Luke. We are in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Sister Diane Davis, I can see you. We can see you, but you're up, you're sideways. Now you're straight. So we're glad you're straight. We're glad Sister Diane got it worked out. Okay, everyone, please make sure you're on mute. So we're going to continue on in our study of the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 14. Which I introduced on last week. Let me start by giving a review, but our main focus this evening will be verses 1 through 6. But let's look at the review. Last week, we looked at the chapter in its entirety, and I gave the outline of the chapter. My first outline was the big outline of the entire chapter, where it falls into two divisions. Verses 1 through 24 is the first part of this chapter. And it all has to do with this first part of the chapter, all takes place in the house of a Pharisee, one setting for the entire first 24 verses. It all takes place in the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. There is no change of location. Also, the first 24 verses, and this is very important, it also occurs on the same day, and of course, that's probably logical there. It occurs on the same day, but it happens to be a special day. It is the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day, we don't, as most New Testament Christians, don't pay as much attention to the Sabbath as we should. The Sabbath is one of those Ten Commandments that has not been annulled. Jesus Christ, he is ultimately the fulfillment of the Sabbath. But we still are to recognize, even as New Testament Christians, a Sabbath day. And we talked about that earlier on when we were studying Luke. Someday I need to give another teaching on that, because it is very important that we, even today, each one of us acknowledge and have our own particular Sabbath day, whatever day you may choose. So this all occurs on the Sabbath day in the ruler's house, verses 1 through 24. The common thread throughout it all is fellowship, fellowship with God, relationship with God and with others, fellowship, relationship, communion. It has to do with relationship. And it starts out in verse 1. This passage started out talking about Jesus went into the house of a ruler to eat bread. And we see that continuing all throughout these verses, the theme of eating bread and fellowshipping around food. And so verses 1 through 24 are bookend with that in mind. Verse 1 says to eat bread. Verse 24 is the other bookend, and it says, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." So it starts with a meal, it ends with a meal, talking about fellowship ultimately with God and then with one another. Because we'll find out it's God's table that we will be sitting at. And that is given to us in Luke chapter 13. And let's look at Luke 13 for a moment. Luke chapter 13, verse 28. And we did look at this on last week. Chapter 13, beginning at verse 28, where it says, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out." And I talked about last week, there will be a division. There will be, just like I said, chapter 14 is in two parts. Ultimately, all humanity will be divided in two. You'll either be in the kingdom of God or you'll ultimately be thrust out. But then it goes on to say in chapter 13, verse 29, "They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God." Well, we'll be sitting, we found out, because it goes on in chapter 14 and all throughout the Gospels. As a matter of fact, all throughout the Bible, there is fellowship going on around a meal, around food, and sitting down in the kingdom of God. It's going to be a lot of people that will be sitting at the table, sitting down in the kingdom. They will come from the east, west, north, and south. And then there will be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jew and the Gentile, those who are saved by the blood of Jesus. Well, where are these? Who are all these people? And where are they coming from? Well, chapter 14 is going to tell us. That's part of what chapter 14 is letting us know. Who will be at the table of the Lord? Who's going to make it to the supper? Who's going to make it to the meal? Who's going to be at the banquet? So chapter 14, we'll find out verses 1 through 24 is talking about different categories of people, and they all come through Jesus, that will make it to the meal. And so we want to make sure that we're in that group that will come from the east, west, north, or south, and will sit down in the kingdom of God. And so part one of Luke chapter 14, in the Pharisee's house on the Sabbath day, it has to do with relationship, eating bread, and sitting down at the supper. There are two suppers that are talked about in this passage. It starts out in chapter 14, verse 1. This meal takes place. It's an earthly meal. It's a human meal. It's hosted by a man. The man is the ruler of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Pharisees. And so that's an earthly meal. But there's also the heavenly meal, the spiritual meal. And it is found in verse 24, where 24 says, "For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." And that's Jesus talking about his supper. And we know Revelation tells us about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We also know all throughout scriptures, I told you, there are many things about food and fellowship, even with the Lord. If you remember, after the resurrection, not before, but before, of course, they fellowshiped together and the Lord's Supper was instituted. But even after the resurrection of the Lord, do you remember when Jesus was on the beach? I'll say it like that. Jesus was on the seashore and he asked them, "Children, have you any bread?" And next thing we know, it was as if Jesus had prepared a meal of fish and bread. And so there will be eating going on. How it takes place, I don't know. We just have to get there in the resurrection bodies. So that's an exciting thing. There was fellowship going on before the fall of man through food, and there will be fellowship after the fall of man. And we see that today on our earthly basis. But in glory, Jesus said, "I will no more eat of this or drink of this wine until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God." And so we want to make sure we make it to the kingdom of God. And that's what this first part of chapter 14 and all throughout the Bible is wanting us to come unto Jesus, that we might be at the table. So that's part one. But part two of chapter 14 is found in verses 25 through 35. That's the second part of this chapter. And I'm going fairly rapidly because I'm reviewing right now. We want to get to our new material. So verses 25 through 35 is the second part of the chapter. And we found out, we can see in verse 25, that there is a scene change. One indication that there's a scene change is that it goes from all the red letter to black. And Luke, the narrator, writes, and he says, "Now great multitudes went with him." Well, that's different from verse 1, because verse 1, we were in the Pharisee's house. Verse 25 lets us know paragraph change, scene change. And sometimes it could be a theme change. Well, it is a theme change somewhat in verses 25 through 35. Now we see these great multitudes following Jesus, but we meet up with the key word. The key word in this passage is the word disciple. The word disciple we know means a follower of Christ, an imitator of Christ, a learner of Christ. And that's what a disciple is. And as Christians, we are not only believers, but we are disciples. That's what Jesus is after, is disciples of Christ, not just those who believe, but those who follow him. And that is a big difference between believe, the demons believe and tremble. Demons believe, but Jesus requires follow him. That's what he requires. And he makes it very emphatic in verses 25 through 35. He makes it so emphatic that it may appear that it's even harsh, because he says in verse 26, if anyone comes to me, and now here comes these requirements, does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we'll talk more about that when we get to that particular passage of scripture. So we see Luke chapter 14 divides in two. It has to do with our relationship with God, as well as our discipleship with his son, Jesus Christ. So relationship, fellowship, and discipleship. And the last two verses here in chapter 14, there's a warning, there's an admonition, there's a comparison here. It says in verse 14, salt is good. Well, we know salt is good. Salt flavors things, and salt just makes things taste better, and it preserves. It has other functions as well. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, and he's relating that to disciples, to people. Well, if you're a disciple and a Christian, a believer, and you've lost your salt, if you lost your salt, it says in verse 34, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? What are you going to put on top of the salt? How shall it be seasoned? Jesus gives the answer. It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out, and we don't want to be thrown out. That's what happened in chapter 13, where some were thrust out in chapter 13, verse 28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then it goes on and says thrust out. Well, verse chapter 14, verse 35, it is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. Now here comes the warning. Here comes the admonition. Jesus is letting us know he's very serious. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so it behooves us to not just read this word, not just study this word, and we are to do both. We're to hear, we're to receive, we're to obey. That's a big dividing line right there. It's not just being hearers, but doers of the word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear what? Some's going to make it to the table of the Lord, and others will not. We found out in Luke chapter 13 that many will not make it. Many think they're going to get in. That's, you all remember that from chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 25. It says, strive to enter. And we talked about that. None of us are in heaven yet. You have to keep on the journey. We don't have to work for salvation. Jesus did that. He finished the work on Calvary. But Philippians lets us know we have to work out our salvation. Work it out with fear and trembling. There is a salvation to be worked out. How do we work it out? Well, you have to live it. You have to do it. You have to obey the word of the Lord. And verse 24, chapter 13 says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. And too many Christians, especially with a lot of modern day teaching and a modern day preaching, think they're just going to sing their way and happy, happy their way into the kingdom. There is a cross to bear. If any man comes after Jesus, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow him. That's what Jesus said. And you don't often hear about denying yourself. When have you heard much about you got to deny yourself? You have to crucify the flesh. You don't hear too much about that. But that doesn't negate God's word. God's word still stands. And so he says in Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And so this is the warning of chapter 14. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. We want to be sure we're going to get in the kingdom. Now, having said that, I have assurance of my salvation. I'm not scared of losing my salvation. I am safe and I am secure in Jesus. Yes, I am. And I pray you can say that as well. I know that Jesus has paid my sin debt in full. I know that. But I also know that I have to continue on the road. I have to continue on the way. I have to be that follower of Christ, because that's the fruit that shows that you really have been born again. That's the fruit that comes forth from really being a child of God. If someone confesses Christ and they have no desire for the word of God, they have no desire for fellowship with God, they have no desire to be around the saints of God, or if they be around the saints, it could be around a bunch of carnality, but very little time for the word of God. Those are indicators, if not indicators of not being saved, it's indicators of a stunted Christian life. And so we want to be all that Christ wants us to be. So that's Luke chapter 14, introduction. Now let's look at verses 1-6. And I can see that a few others have joined us. I'm glad that you are here. So let's start out by reading verses 1-6 in its entirety. And I am reading from, as you know, the New King James Version of the Bible. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. And as we read, as I told you on last week, I encourage you to meditate on the scripture. I encourage you to ponder, which is meditate, chew on it, maybe even act it out or talk it out. But as we read, we pray the Lord help us to comprehend, and it takes the Spirit to do that. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. And we say amen to the word of the Lord. Well, let's start at verse 1. Our meal is on our plate. And our meal today, our food, our vegetables, our meat, our fruit, and there's even some dessert in here probably somewhere. All of it is here on our plate. But as you know, we don't pick up the plate and shove it all down at once. We break it off by portions and we eat it bite by bite, bite by bite. So that's what we're going to do now in these verses. The narrator is writing Luke. And he lets us know Now it happened as Jesus, we're talking about Jesus, went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Well, let's chew on verse 1 for a minute. Well, one thing we see in this passage, here is Jesus again going into the house of a Pharisee. Do you know how the Pharisees on the whole felt about Jesus? Well, we all know that. We all know who've been studying and reading in our Bibles for a while. We know that the Pharisees, they were, for the most part, adversaries and enemies of Jesus. They sought to catch him and to accuse him and to kill him. But we see again, Jesus, once again, going into the house. And when he goes into that house, he's going there for fellowship. He goes into the house of the ruler of the Pharisees to eat bread. Well, what's one thing we can learn from that? One thing is the heart of the Lord. The Lord knew, of course, that these people were out to trap him, to snare him, to accuse him, to ultimately kill him. But the heart of God continues to reach out in love. The heart of God continues to reach out in compassion. Jesus was invited into this house. The Pharisee, we see in verse 12. In verse 12, it says, then he, Jesus, also said to him who invited him. Well, this ruler had invited Jesus to the house. And even though the Lord knew their thoughts, he knew the intent of their hearts. He knew they were out to trap him. But still, Jesus, out of love, out of compassion, out of his mercy, he still went to reach out to the Pharisees. Now, we know that he would warn them. He would tell them like it is. He pronounced woes upon them. But he was doing what? That was all out of love, seeking that they might be saved. And you have to tell people the truth. You got to be honest with people. Tell them the truth. It's the truth that sets free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, everyone doesn't want to hear the truth, as it is in the case of the Pharisees, most of them. But somebody heard. Jesus' word reached some of those Pharisees, at least a few of them. And so we have to learn as Christians, even though people may not be crazy about us, and there are some that are not, there's somebody, all of us here has someone that's not so crazy about us, and even may have someone who despises us, or may even be our enemies, but we never want to have a hardened heart towards them, and we never want bitterness to set up in them, in us. We always, and that doesn't mean you can go into their house. That doesn't mean all of that necessarily. But it means make sure our heart is right towards people that may even be your enemies. And that requires the power of the Holy Spirit. It requires prayer, but at least have a desire to do it. And that's part of why sometimes we pray, Lord, strengthen me where I am weak. Build me up where I'm torn down, because it's not easy. Matter of fact, it's impossible to love your enemies and pray for your enemies and do good to your enemies. And if the enemy takes your coat, one of them, give him your other one. Well, you can't do that on your own. It takes the power of the Spirit to do it. And Jesus, here he is over and over again. Let's look at several scriptures. Let's go to Luke chapter 7, because we'll see in Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. And we're talking about Jesus going into the house of Pharisees. And I'm not going to identify all the times, but we're going to look at several of them. Luke 7:36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. That's back in chapter 7. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And then here comes this woman. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. And we know the story. She came in. She was weeping. Verse 38 at the end, she kissed his feet, anointed them with oil. Verse 39. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him, saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." So that lets us know he didn't think he was a sinner. Matter of fact, according to him, he knew he wasn't a sinner, but he was a sinner. And I believe that's part of why Jesus went into that house. He went into that Pharisee's house to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Jesus is in the house. And this woman comes in. Yes, she's a sinner, but she's going to be all right. So verse 40 says, because Jesus knew the Pharisee's thought, verse 40 says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you." And then Jesus goes on talking to the Pharisee about the forgiveness of sins, because that's how you get in relationship with God. Sins must be forgiven. And so Jesus was reaching out to the Pharisee who didn't realize he was a sinner. It's the same thing in chapter 14. They didn't know they needed Jesus, but Jesus went to that house to still teach them, is still reaching out to them in love. Let's look at chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verse 41. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. And it reads, Luke 8:41. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus." We've heard many sermons about Jairus. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house." Now, see, here's another Pharisee that invited Jesus to his house. But we can notice his spirit is different. We see that this man came to Jesus with a need. He was a ruler of the Pharisees, ruler in the synagogue. He was a ruler in the synagogue. He fell down. He fell down out of humiliation. He fell down out of need. He may have even fallen down out of worship, but at least acknowledgement that he needed the Lord. "And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him." He knew he had a need. He begged Jesus to come to his house. And then we see in verse 51, it tells us when he, Jesus, came into the house. And so if a house is open, Jesus is willing to come. But Jesus is still going to set the requirements, how, who, and who sits at his table. But he is willing to save. He's the Lord strong and mighty, and he's willing to save. And so we see Luke chapter 11. Let's go to chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, our last scripture on this particular point, but it's quite a passage. Luke chapter 11. Beginning at verse 37, Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Now, I think everyone out here has been with Sister Velma a while, and you all know we stay in the scripture as long as it takes. If we're in these first six verses for 4 weeks, we'll be in those first six for 4 weeks, or maybe it may be one. But we really chew on our food. And you know, the more with God's word, because it is living. It is the living word of God. And just like Jesus broke the bread and the fish and it kept multiplying, that's how God's word is. Actually, you could stay in this one verse for a month of Sundays and more and not exhausted. We're not going to do that. But I'm just saying that we'll be in this passage for some time. Luke chapter 11, verses 37. Let's start at verse 37. Luke 11, 37. And it reads, "And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner." Uh-oh. Now we know, we said it this, it's on now. But then Jesus has something to say about that in verse 39. Then the Lord, and notice it says the Lord, doesn't say Jesus here. Jesus is Lord. And you notice that when you're reading scripture, sometimes it uses his name Jesus, other times his title as the Lord. And he is speaking as the Lord. He is God. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." And then Jesus went on, laying it down. And he started out in verse 42 with the first of seven or eight or more woes. Verse 42, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by," I paused because I didn't know if it was herbs or herbs, "and pass by," let me find my place again, verse 42, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God." So they had tithing down. They had tithing good. They had that. But they passed over justice and they passed over the love of God. Let's go to chapter 14. But in spite, and you should read the rest of 11 to remind, chapter 11, to remind yourself of other things that Jesus said to those Pharisees. Matter of fact, let's go back for a moment to chapter 11 and let's see how that chapter ended. Chapter 11, verse 52. Chapter 11, verse 52. I see Sister Carter with us, and I just want to say, Sister Carter, we're praying for your husband on our prayer list. He is in my prayers, and I'm sure the prayers of others. So we're glad to see you this evening and let him know that I'm praying for him, okay? All right. So Luke chapter 11, verse 52, it says, "Woe to you lawyers," and we're going to pick up with those lawyers. They show up in Luke 14, because when you look at Luke chapter 14, verse 3, it says, "And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees." So let's go back to 13 for a moment. Chapter 13, verse 52. "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. And so when we get to chapter 14, we know what's in the heart of the Pharisees, and Jesus knew too, but he still went in spite of all of that. The amazing love of God, the amazing compassions of the Lord. He reaches out still. And you all know this is why Jesus had one reason. Jesus has not yet come again. The door of salvation has been open for over 2,000 years. We're in the year 2021. So over 2,021 years over that, the door of salvation is open. And that's because the Lord is plenteous in mercy. He is slow to anger, but the cup of wrath will come. And so that's why 14 ends, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So verse chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. So we get the point. Jesus still reaching out in love. And we have to learn as disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ, Lord, help me, show me and help me to reach out and live as you would have me to live in relationship with people who may be my enemies. All right. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now it happened as he, Jesus, went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. Now let's stop right there. Jesus eating bread on the Sabbath. Now I mentioned to you earlier, it's very important to know it is the Sabbath day. And we know the Sabbath, we need to say more, hear more, teach more on the Sabbath. And I'm not going to do that tonight. But we know the Sabbath day was established. It was established way back in Genesis before the fall of man. And one thing about the Sabbath, it was a day of rest. It was a day of rest. God rested from his works. It was a day when man comes on the scene and God set apart the seventh day for the Sabbath. God sanctified the Sabbath day. And it was to be a day of worship and a day of drawing nigh to God. It was to be a day where you ceased from your labors. Now, that's important as we look at this passage, that it is the Sabbath day, the day of rest, the day of refreshing, the day of release and freedom. So Jesus is eating bread on the Sabbath. Now, last week I mentioned we have to get into the mold of, for us, like a Sunday meal. We've been to church, some of us virtually, a few of us went in person. But we've gathered with other believers, and for most of us, it's on Sunday, but others, it may be on another day. That's okay, whatever day you choose. Okay, but you gather together with other believers. So we'll say on Sunday, and usually there's that Sunday meal. And that's the atmosphere of this whole chapter 14, verses 1 through 25. It is the Sabbath meal. It is a special meal. It's not the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday meal. It's the Sabbath meal, the day of release and refreshing. But we find out, even though all that is true, chapter 14, verse 1 ends, that's not their motive. Their motive is not to rest. Their motive is not for release. Their motive is not for refreshing. Their motive is not for worship. Their motive is not for renewal. Their motive is, here they are, watching Jesus closely. And chapter 11 told us why. Now, it's good to look at Jesus. You know, that's what we're doing even now in our study. We're looking at Jesus. We're beholding Jesus. And the more you look at Jesus, the more glorious he is. That's if your heart is right. The more glorious he is, and he manifests his glory to us. But that's not why they're watching him. They're watching him to look for something to accuse him with. But we're going to find out in this passage, yeah, they may be watching him. But when you look at verse 7, and verse 7 lets us know, so he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places. So we see, yeah, they were watching Jesus, but Jesus was watching them. Jesus, now the way Jesus' eyes are eyes of purity and fire and all knowledge, whereas we see in part, know in part. We don't know the whole of nothing on this earth. But Jesus was watching them. They think they're watching him, but he is watching them. And you know, it's like this Bible here. I told you the Bible is the living word of God. There's nothing boring about it. There's nothing dry about it. It's the living word of God. The whole Bible gives nourishment. The whole Bible gives refreshing. The whole Bible is meant to help us to be what God wants us to be. But this Bible, now each one of us is looking in a Bible. Regardless of whatever device you may be looking at, I'm looking at an actual book, Bible. And however you're looking at the Bible, we are beholding Jesus. Because the whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the volume of the book is talking about Jesus. Every aspect of it. And let me show you that. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, that's New Testament, so just keep going over. Hebrews after Romans, after Galatians, I'm trying to get to Hebrews, before James. So Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. And this is just one of the verses. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Let's start at verse 5 for context. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. And then there's more times that it says that as well. Let's go back to chapter 14 of Luke. And so what I'm trying to get around to saying is we're looking into the book. We're beholding Jesus in one way or another. And I remind you, when you're in the Word, especially when you're listening to a sermon or a teaching, and there's many glories of God's word. There's many things to be said in God's word, many different portions of food, but all of it fits in some kind of way with Jesus. If it falls short of lifting the Christ, it has fallen short. So make sure we always, in the volume of the book, it's written of Jesus. Well, we're looking in the book. This is what I'm trying to get around to saying. We're watching Jesus closely. But you know what? This same book, this Bible is watching us. It's telling us Jesus went into the house of the Pharisee, an enemy. And then it looks back at us and say, how you doing in that category? And that's the word of God looking at us. We look at it, but it's looking right back at us. And when you're in the word of God, you'll find out you'll be reading it, but it'll be reading you. And this Bible reads you, and it reads us better than we can read ourselves. Because the Bible, the word of God, it is searching the intents of the heart. It's the sword of the spirit, and it divides. And so Jesus, watching them, let me see what time it is. We have a few minutes. Jesus, they're watching Jesus closely. But they can never see all there is to Jesus. They're going to find that out in a few minutes. They're watching him closely, and he's watching them. Verse 2, verse 1. Now it happened as Jesus went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Now, before I go to verse 2, let me also say the Pharisee. We know that's a man of status. That's a man of esteem. He is a leader in the community. He is a man with a lot of prominence. And so Jesus is in the house of a man with earthly prominence and leader. Now I just said, it's the Sabbath day. What happens on the Sabbath day? Well, let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, because on top of rest and release, and worship, and that's what Sabbath is all about in relation to man. When we go back to Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and it reads, so let's look at 14. Luke 4, starting at 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, that's the part I want us to see. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And so we find out Jesus attended synagogue service regularly on the Sabbath day. And the practical application for us is we should be joining in with other believers regularly. On a regular basis, we should be assembling with other saints, whether it's virtually, whether it's live, however you do it. It's part of how we're followers of Christ. He assembled, it tells us here, he went into the, it was his custom. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Luke chapter 14. Let's go back to 14. So Jesus has been to synagogue service. We can know that, even though it doesn't say that in chapter 14, because chapter 4 let us know that was his custom. It would be different synagogues, but he would be in somebody's synagogue on the Sabbath day. So now in chapter 14, verse 1, we see it's not a friendly environment. Even though Jesus was invited to the house, it wasn't friends that were invited him. That's a cover. That the food was a disguise. The food was a mask, a hypocritical mask that they wore. And they used the food. But we're also going to find out they used a person too. Because verse 2 says, verse 1, now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, now when you see that behold arrests you. It like takes you and shakes you and say, you might have been listening with one ear, but you need to listen with both ears now. Behold, look up here. Look what's going on. What is this? And it says, and behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And before we go to verse 3, let's chew on verse 2 now. Okay, now it said, behold. That's like, what you say? What you talking about? Because see, we're talking about prominent people. We're talking about the rulers, a ruler of the Pharisee. Well, who do you think else he invited? It would be those in his same social class. He's not inviting poor people because he didn't believe in socializing with them in the first place. So Luke says here, look here, what in the world is this? And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And you all can remember in school, and you've heard me mention weekly readers through the years, because I remember weekly readers back in when I was in grade school. And there would be a page, and you'd have to, it would say, what's wrong with this picture? And you'd select, you know, it could be a bell, it could be a whistle, it could be a train horn, and then there would be a bottle of water. And you had to pick what was wrong. Well, it would be the bottle of water. It didn't fit. And that's how it is in this scene. There's these men of prominence that had invited Jesus, because Jesus is a rabbi. Jesus is popular. Jesus is glorified by men and women. Jesus, a man of esteem. So they invited him for various reasons. But what's wrong with this picture? Well, it is that in this scene, we have 6 minutes. There is a man there who has dropsy. This is a diseased man, a man with an infirmity. And the modern day terminology for dropsy is the disease or infirmity, edema. I think I pronounced that right. Edema, E-D-E-M-A, which is a severe swelling. It could be any part of the body. And so this man is in this Pharisee's house. And you have to ask yourself the question, how did he get there? What is he doing there? Well, now the scripture is going to let us know. It doesn't say here, but evidently, and this is through my meditation on it and reading, you know, reading with it, reading the passage in meditation and in prayer. This man, when you think about it, he wouldn't have just walked up to the Pharisee's house. He knew where he belonged and he knew where he didn't belong. He wasn't a child. He knew you don't step up in the Pharisee's house like we just can't step up in the governor's house. We don't even have to go to the governor. I just can't step up in your house. And so this man, he just couldn't come into this ruler's house. Somebody told him, and it probably was that ruler, one of the Pharisees, told him that Jesus was going to be at the house. And they invited that man. But it was a set up. They were trying to trap Jesus. Now, a lesson in that is, and it's a sad lesson, but it's true today. False teachers and many people with religious garment on will use people. They'll use hurting people for their own objectives. You've seen it on TV. Maybe you've been to certain services where sick people are used for their own advancement. They'll have people lined up in wheelchairs. And all the time, it's not because they care about the people. They didn't care about this man with dropsy. They didn't even care about Jesus except to kill him. So they were using this man. They were using this man as a trap. We have 3 minutes. As a trap to get to Jesus. But Jesus is not going to be entrapped by anybody. And Jesus is going to protect the man. And so Luke chapter 14, verse 2, behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus answering, now notice there it says Jesus answering. Well, we notice there's no question on the table, but Jesus is reading them. Like I said, they're watching him, but he's watching them. And verse 3 says, and Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees. So he's answering what's in their hearts. He's holding up the mirror. And this Bible is a mirror. It's going to show you you. It's going to show you yourself and show me me. And so verse 3, Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, they didn't expect that. They didn't expect that. Verse 4 says, but they kept silent. Now, what do you think they expected in our last 2 minutes? I, in my meditation, everybody has to meditate it and however God gives it to you. But I just imagine they thought they were going to trap Jesus, outsmart Jesus, and that Jesus would just heal that man. And Jesus is going to heal that man. But they did not anticipate that Jesus is going to have a question for them, you know, because he's wiser than the wisest. You know, you can't outsmart God. No one can outsmart the God. You know, when you say he's so high, you can't go above him. He's so low, you can't go under him. You just got to come in at the door. And we just got to go at the door because we only have 1 minute. So let me keep going to 7:30. It's 7:29. Okay, verse 3. Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And as I close, I want to close by saying that is a simple yes or no answer. You either say yes or you say no. They didn't say nothing. They were stopped by the glory of God and other reasons too. Well, our time is up. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to move on in this passage. I encourage you to do your own study and your own meditation, because I was tempted to say we're going to go on to verse 7, but I need to bring out some more things in this passage. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you see all the entrapments of men. And we ask you as we go along on our journey, Lord God, may we walk in wisdom. May we walk in your wisdom. And may we as your children not be used or abused by anyone, Lord God, but may we walk in the wisdom of God. We pray that you will be with us through this week. Keep us in your care, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Velma.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Velma.
I heard Brother BJ's voice. Brother BJ, you might be the only man out here with us this evening. Is there another man in the house?
There's three or four that's wandering around. They heard a little bit.
They're wandering around.
they heard a little bit. Okay.
God bless you. Yeah. I'm praying for everybody.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good week. You too. Have a good week. You too. Be safe. Be prayer for you. I heard part of it. Go ahead, Miss Sadie.
Don't forget to keep you in our prayer.
Thank you. I need them. I sure do.
Amen.
And I'll be praying Amen. For you.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless everyone.
Bless you.
God bless.
Okay, I'm going to tune off here.
Okay. I'm gonna let you come see my son. Here, come here, David. This is my baby. Come on.
Okay. Hi, Sister Shirley in Florida.
Okay. That's Miss Velma, our teacher.
Hey, how you doing? I was expecting a little boy to show up. How you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, David is what? Are you?
I'm 46.
Uh-oh. Well, you didn't have to say all that. Praise the Lord for 46. Everyone have a good week.
Okay. All right, you have a good week.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bless you.
Bye. Okay. You as well.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Miss Sadie.